Well, welcome to the heart of summer, and it's hot, but I'm excited about the message that I have today. And last week, Pastor Josh shared about the power of a word, and my heart is that you know that what God's speaking to you, and when God speaks to you, I also want you to know that there's a plan that he has in place. God doesn't randomly do things. Oftentimes, we feel that like our encounters with God are random, but they're really intentional on his part. And so today, I hope that the message It really gets to you, because you can know that God has a purpose and a plan for you. And so we're going to look at like what that might look like. We're going to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 5, seeing the plan that God had, not just for his disciples, the 12 disciples, but for us as well, through how he called them. And so we're going to start in Luke chapter 5 as Jesus is really calling some of his very first disciples. So here we go. Chapter 5, verse 1, the book of Luke. It says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. I'm going to read on. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time, their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. A shout from help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. So this is Jesus. Like, get the story. So Jesus is teaching. Everywhere he goes, crowds are following him because of the miracles that he's done and because he's speaking truth with authority that was not like their rabbis at the time. Obviously, like, he's divine, and people haven't quite recognized that, but they know that there's something special about him. And so he's on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and people are following him. So he turns right on the shores. This crowd shows up to speak, and then he sees that there's an empty boat there. And he realizes, number one, the crowd's too close. Number two, if he can get into one of these boats and push off just a little ways, they're going to be able to hear him better, because the distance and the water will reflect his voice, and it'll make it a lot more clear. You've probably experience that on a lake or calm days on the ocean when somebody's out. It's almost like that water acts as an amplifier and the voice bounces off. So there's a practical aspect of it. And so he does that. He sees the fishermen that aren't in the boats. They're tending their nets. And he says, hey, can I push this out? And so they're like, yeah. He pushes the boat out into the water and he speaks to the crowds. At the end of it, he tells the owner of the boat, Simon, hey, go ahead and put your fish in the water, like put your nets in the water to see if you're going to get a catch. And Simon protests. I mean, this is a pretty basic story. Like, Simon's like, okay, like we fished all night, we caught nothing, but I'll do it. And he puts his nets down, pushes out just a little ways right by the shore, puts his nets down. And there's so many fish that jump into the nets that the nets begin to break. They have to call their buddies and it fills up two boats. So what's the story that we can learn from this? Here's the first thing that in all of this, this seemed probably to Simon like just random, like coincidence. He's been fishing all night. The day's broken and they're mending their nets. They're taking care of their nets, washing, cleaning, tying up their nets where they're broken. And he sees Jesus just randomly. He sees this guy on the shore. It turns out to be Jesus, and the guy has to push. It all seems like random happenstance, but it's not. Because Jesus had a purpose and a plan, and it was more than just reaching the crowds that were already following him. Jesus had a plan for Simon. And Jesus has a plan for you and for me. You know, Ephesians 5:17 says this. It says, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And lots of people wonder, what is God's will for them? Like, Lord, what do you have for me? Like, how do we get to that place? Everybody loves to quote Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, not for calamity and destruction, but to give you a future and a hope. But everybody seems, or many people seem, to get hung up on, what is that plan, Lord? Like, what is it? And so here's some basic principles to help you understand what it means to engage in the plan that God has for you. Here's the first principle that I want you to get. Your emptiness opens the door for Jesus to step in. Look at what it says right here, that Jesus noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked its owner to push it, Simon, to push it out into the water. Here's the principle, like the power of God's plan. You have to know that God's plan begins, like Jesus's plan for you begins when you give him a place to step into. I firmly believe that, like, the reason that so many people struggled, like, look, Jesus, where are you? Like, God, what do you have for me? What's your plan? Their boat, the boat of their life, is so full of stuff that they have made no place for Jesus. No surprise that it's an empty boat that Jesus walks up to and asks the owner, hey, can I get in? Because Jesus isn't a bully. He's not gonna just take. He's waiting for you to make a place. What is in the boat of your life? Work. Family, hobbies, screens, pleasure. Like, what is it? Have you emptied your boat? Have you put the work aside for the day? Have you made a place for him? So many people don't understand the will of the Lord. Ephesians 5 says, don't be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. But if you haven't made a place for that will to become reality, you'll never walk in it, ever. Jesus is waiting for you to take the junk out. The stuff that isn't that important. If you're wondering, where can I make a place? Look, just pick up your phone and look at screen time. How many hours is that? That's for real, isn't it? Look, I'm not saying that condemningly. Like, the Lord convicted me. I didn't have to look at my screen time. I went, Lord, I want to spend more time with you. So I shut it off. And guess what? That place that I made from the Lord, that's where you hear from him. That's number one. Of, you know, emptiness, our emptiness, areas where there's really availability, it opens the door. The second thing that you've got to know is that it's obedience to the words of Jesus that bring life. In other words, when he speaks to you, you should do what he says. Look at this. Stepping into one of the boats. So there was an available a boat that was available. There was some empty space in it. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. And Simon did it. It opened the door for life, a whole life change. See, Peter didn't realize in just that one little act, something that seems small, not a big deal. Jesus steps into that boat. There's a place for him in that boat. And then Jesus looks at Simon. It's interesting. He didn't even ask to step into the boat. He just steps into the boat. He gets in the boat and then he says, hey, which is kind of funny, isn't it? I think it's comical. Like, here they are mending their nets. And like, Jesus like just gets into the boat. It'd be like, you're out there like washing your car and like Jesus gets in. He's like, hey man, can you back it up for me? Like, you would think that'd be a little weird. But Jesus steps into the boat, and then he looks at Simon. Hey, man, can you push it off a little bit? I want to talk to everybody. Simon's like, sure, whatever. He does it. I don't even know if he does it begrudgingly. He probably did it thinking, what in the world is going on? We're out here cleaning our nets. All these people show up. This dude, he probably knew who he was. Jesus had a reputation, and it was a good one. And push the boat out, and then Jesus speaks. They're still working, so think about this. They're not they're listening, but they're like not part of like the people that are right there attentively facing Jesus. They're like mending their nets, like, yeah, this is cool. And Jesus is done. And then he looks at Simon and says, hey, go out where it's deeper. Let down your nets to catch some fish. Okay, a few things. Jesus isn't a fisherman. He's a carpenter. If he was a fisherman, Simon surely would have known him. Like, he would have known him. I've been to the Sea of Galilee. It's not a sea. It's a lake. The Jews today call it Kinneret. It's Lake Kinneret. The first time I went there, I go out there and there's people wakeboarding on it. I'm like, what? Well, this is not what I thought. Like, they're in ski boats and wakeboarding. It's 14 miles long and 7 miles wide. It's not even that big. So, and now you have a pedestrian society. Like, Simon would have known if Jesus was a fisherman. He was, and he was a carpenter. And so now the carpenter is speaking, the guy who just commandeered a boat is speaking to the fisherman and saying, hey, man, why don't you push the boat out into deep water so you can catch some fish? I would think that'd be a little offensive. Like, who are you, bro? Do you fish? Like, Simon's response, man, love it. Master, I wonder how he said that. Man, maybe I just read it with too much imagination, but I'm like, Master, we worked hard all last night, didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. He's obedient. He follows the simple next step that Jesus gives him. I think a lot of times people hesitate when Jesus asks them to do something simple. I remember a message that I preached not that long ago about Naaman that was told by the prophet of God to go wash in the Jordan River 7 times. He didn't want to do it because he had expectations that there would be this big, huge ceremonial thing that the prophet would do, and there'd be incantations, and he'd wave his hands over it. And he didn't want to do it until his wise buddies were like, listen, if it was really complex, you'd do it. So just do something simple. Let me encourage you to simply just obey this book and what Jesus speaks to you. Just simply obey the next step. Peter does it. Hey, just go. Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Seems fruitless. Seems pointless. A waste of time. They're going to have to probably re-clean their nets. It's inconvenient. Fine. Master, we worked hard all night. But if you say so, I'll do it. I don't know if he has much expectation. I wonder how much pressure the people that were still there watching probably had on him. I don't know. All I know is that he took the next step. And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. The nets began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Wow. That brought life. It brought sustenance. It brought provision. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And so often in a material society, we look at God perhaps more than we should as a cosmic divine Santa Claus. If we ask, he'll give us all sorts of stuff. But when we walk in obedience, he provides for all of our needs. If you haven't seen The Chosen and how this goes down in The Chosen, you should probably watch that series. I don't even like Christian movies. They're usually pretty terrible. Chosen was great. And just to see how Jesus meets us where we are when we trust him and we are obedient to his word, both in scripture and what he speaks to us here that is in line with scripture. Hey, push the boat off. Fine. Hey, go ahead and cast your nets. Go out to a little bit deeper water. Cast your nets again. Oh, God, we worked all night. This is pretty inconvenient. But because you said it, I'm going to do it even though it doesn't make sense. And what happens? It brings life to him. It becomes a huge miracle. And then Simon's response is fascinating. Look at verse 8. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. Anytime you encounter the supernatural divinity of God, like we know about God, but when you experience his unbelievably huge and powerful hand at work personally in your life, it reminds you of how small you are. That's where Simon is. He fell to his knees. Oh, Lord, please leave me. Please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught. His eyes are now on the prize that they pulled out of the water. instead of Jesus. He was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the other men with him. His partners, James and John, and the son of Zebedee, were also amazed. Simon, O Lord, please leave me, for I am a sinful man. Here's the third thing you need to know, like the power of a plan. Your availability, those empty spaces, that empty space that you make for Jesus opens the door for him to speak and to speak into your life. But it's you stepping out in obedience to him that brings life to you. Here's the third thing you really need to know, that condemnation brings death. Please leave me. Do you think that the point of Jesus in this miracle was to push Simon further away? No. No, not at all. What was the point of the miracle? For Simon to trust Jesus, but the voice of condemnation was trying to bring death to the miracle of life that Jesus had just done. The same is true for us. When you see the hand of God at work, maybe it's in somebody else's life, maybe you're James and John, they're amazed too, or you're Simon and you experience the goodness, the miraculous hand of God, and the enemy is there going, you don't deserve this. You look at who you are. You're no good. Why would he do this? You've got to leave. It's trying to get you to leave the presence of the King of Kings. Condemnation brings death. Your availability and that empty space that you have in you already, let Jesus in. And when he speaks, step out in obedience. But do not listen to the voice that says, you are not good enough for this, because Jesus' hand is at work in your life. When you experience the supernatural, it's because he wants you to draw close to him. And the voice of condemnation and the enemy at work says, leave, leave, leave. But you have to know who you are, because Jesus loves you enough to work in your life. Make that place for him. Keep that empty space. Get rid of the junk that fills every waking moment of your life. Make a space for him. Walk in obedience. It brings life. Shut the voice of condemnation down in your life. It brings death. And here's the last thing. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. What was Simon afraid of? Was he afraid of the fish that were in the boat? No, he's a fisherman. Was he afraid of the fact that his boats were going to sink? No, probably not. What's he afraid of? I really believe he was afraid that he wasn't worthy for Jesus to be in his life. But Jesus was the one who came to him. And you have to know, and here's the fourth and final thing, that following Jesus changes everything. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Because the fourth thing is this, following Jesus changes everything. I really believe that there are a lot of people who have had encounters with Jesus. There's a season or a moment in their life where they made space for him. And maybe they walked in obedience. But somehow, some way, they began to listen to the voice of condemnation and death, and they stopped following. It's following Jesus that changes everything. It changes Simon's life unbelievably, so much so that Jesus himself, after Simon's been following him for quite some time, Jesus changes his name to Peter, calls him by a completely different name, because Peter had the revelation of who Jesus really was. As a pastor, I want that for you. I want you to make a place for Jesus. I want you to walk in obedience to shut down the voice of condemnation and death. But mostly, I want you to continue following Jesus, because it is in the continual following of Jesus that he brings you to the place where you change the world, because following Jesus changes everything. So maybe maybe your life has been filled up with more junk. Maybe the space that you once had, you've put more garbage in. It's time to get rid of that, to step out in obedience when Jesus, you make a place for him, to shut down the voice that says that you're no good, that you're afraid, that you can't do it, that Jesus may be speaking to you right now and he's calling you to follow him with reckless abandon. It's the best decision you'll ever make. And it changes everything. It changed everything for Simon, who became Peter. And it changed everything for the whole world because Peter's continual and consistent acts of obedience wasn't perfect. He was an idiot oftentimes. But he kept following in spite of his imperfections and sins and denials. And through that willingness to follow regardless, Jesus used him not just to change his world, but to change the world. And it's not hyperbole or idealism to think that he'll do that in you. Let him. Maybe you need that right now. Maybe you've just been like had encounters with Jesus, but you need to follow him consistently. I want to pray for you. If that's you, this is what it looks like. How do you get to the place where your old life is dead and you're born again? You acknowledge, like, Jesus, I need you. I've been operating in my sin. You believe that he has a purpose and a plan for you, and then you confess it out and you speak it out. So why don't you do that with me? So just pray. If this message is for you, just pray, Jesus, I know I've been doing things my way. I've not made a place for you. I've been operating in my way, and that's sin. But I believe that you know me and you love me and you have a purpose and plan for me, and I choose you. I turn from my way, my sin. I receive your forgiveness and I follow you in Jesus' name. Make me new. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer and that's the first time you've done that, you've never done that, let me encourage you. First of all, connect because your next step is baptism. Like, why is that important? Because it's a physical representation of what God's doing in you, spiritual. And it's so people can see because there's something about that public declaration of faith. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for the future for all of us. Look forward to connecting with you. And know this, the best is yet to come. God bless.